on the road or off-road, Chevy Silverado is built for tough performance in any condition. Hit the road in a new Silverado pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Good friend Kristen Myers, business and finance journalist, joins us now. Hey, Kristen, how you doing here today?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Oh, good. Doing pretty well. I feel a little bit better knowing that it looks like the debt ceiling crisis won't be a crisis. I mean, we'll have to wait and see until it's signed, hopefully before the deadline, which now we think is January 5th. Excuse me, June 5th.
June 5th.
Yes, June 5th. Yes, thank you. I do not want to accelerate us towards winter here in Chicago when we're just starting to enjoy summer. But I guess this is like fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice. I was really worried about this time around. Cooler heads prevailed. This one did feel a little bit different. I don't know if it felt that way to you, but it looks like we're going to end up where we normally do.
It definitely has. I mean, just over the last couple of years, I would say the debt ceiling has really become this sort of political pawn, I would say, between Republicans and Democrats. And we've been, I think, flirting more and more with going over this debt ceiling. We've been flirting with what I'm going to say. I'm going to actually quote the Treasury Department. They've described it as economic calamity or catastrophe. It feels like we have gotten far closer to it this time than we ever have in the past. I will say, however, that this new debt ceiling deal, even though we have one, I mean, it still does face this uphill battle in Congress. It still hasn't. I've been checking, of course, like all the updates on what's been going on. I don't think it's even cleared the House Rules Committee, which it needs to do before it can even hit the vote, hit the floor for a vote. So there seems to be a lot of Republicans that are still going to be opposing it. So we're not totally out of the woods yet, but the fact that a deal was reached is definitely something to celebrate.
Yeah, let's hope we get to the finish line. Looking at the details of it, you know, both sides are going to try and claim some sort of victory here. That's kind of how these deals get made. In fact, that's how you negotiate it. Give me something that I can sell to my team and my voters so that we both end up, you know, feeling like we did something okay. The Republicans are going to point to and have pointed to that this cuts spending, which is an interesting Washington way to say that, because spending isn't going to go down. It's just not going up as much as projected. This is a Washington cut, I'd say, not a real cut.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a political analyst, but it almost seems as if the Republicans are I don't want to say on the losing end of this deal, but they certainly haven't gotten as much as they wanted. Again, as you're kind of noting, they actually were calling for spending cuts, about 13% of spending cuts. And what we actually now have is this new deal is no cuts, but we actually have spending caps. So to your point, you know, Washington is still going to spend money. It still is even spending money on the priorities that the government had actually already decided it wanted to spend money on. It's just not going to be spending as much as it wanted to spend. And I think that is a very important distinction, because we're not actually going to be losing money. In fact, even when it came to freezing spending, Republicans really wanted to freeze those spending levels to what was being spent in 2022. We're not seeing that in this deal. We're actually seeing freezing spent at 2023 levels, so this current year's levels until the next year. And then after that, we're seeing the spending caps really are, and I shouldn't even call them caps, they're actually targets. They're targeted discretionary spending at around 1% right now. So again, really just trying to do everything to kick the can down the road. And they're saying even the debt ceiling debate, they're going to hold off on debating about this until after the next election. So it literally is going to be Congress's problem and the next administration's problem, whoever that is going to be.
Yeah, for sure. Man, you bring up some good points there. I will also note what some critics would say to what I said is that, yes, it does allow for 1% increases or leveling off at certain points. But in essence, that can be a cut because obviously inflation continues to rise, hopefully not as much as it has the past year and a half. And inflation that we feel at the grocery store, the government also feels in what it spends. So if it doesn't have, if it only goes up 1% and inflation's 4%, that can effectively be a cut. I guess that's one way to put that in perspective.
No, that's definitely true. I mean, inflation is always at play. And I mean, keeping in mind, even if we have inflation at that 2% target, which is what the Federal Reserve wants, then yeah, a spending target of 1%, excuse me, of course, is going to cause some trimming depending on where they're going to be spending money and how much inflation is necessarily hitting perhaps that those sectors or those areas where they're going to be planning this spend. But the one thing that I want to note for everyone, cause this is something that made me particularly sad as a millennial with student loan debt.
Yep.
We are going to have to start spending a little bit of our money out of our budgets to pay back our student loans come August. So that was actually one of those concessions that was made by the Democrats to the Republicans.
Okay. I want to zoom out here, Kristen, and ask you a question. I've been starting to wonder myself, where's this recession? This one that we've been talking about since this show launched last February, and it keeps on getting pushed back, this impending recession. Is there a possibility we look back in a couple of years and it never came?
Yes, 100%. So when it comes to recessions, the fun or perhaps maybe interesting thing about them is you can't actually tell a recession until it's already happened officially. We declare recessions after recessions have actually started. So You never know a recession is happening when it's happening, which is annoying, but it is true. So this is something that we've actually all been asking. Every single month we get the jobs numbers, or every single month we get retail spending. And every single month, I would say for the last 18 months, we have all been saying, I have never seen a recession with employment at 3.5%, unemployment, excuse me, the unemployment rate so low. I've never seen a recession with so many people spending this much money continuously every month. And when it comes to discretionary spending on clothes, shoes, things like that. So you're right. We have been hearing about a recession for a very, very long time. We might have had a recession. One has not yet been declared. And if it was, it was very short-lived. And if we do see a recession in 2023, the debt ceiling notwithstanding, because everyone does pretty much agree that if we do go over this debt ceiling cliff, if for some reason they decide not to make a deal, this will send us into a recession. But putting that to the side, it looks like we could potentially avoid one. I mean, we're already now halfway through the year. We haven't had a recession yet that we know of. There is a very much a possibility that we can avoid one altogether for the remainder of 2023.
Yeah. And the reason I bring that up is because it may be more a definition thing than an actual anything that changes our lives, right? We live through it. And then if it's declared a recession, it's not like we go backwards and go, oh, that's right, I lost all that money. You live it as you live it. But from a casual investor, like most of us who have 401ks or we put a little money aside, we're always told by financial advisors, dollar cost averaging, have a plan, stick with it. And I feel like so many people get so worried about recession and they've been talked into it so much that they have stayed on the sidelines, maybe a little bit more. And sometimes you miss the rally until you realize the rally's already happened and it's not, you know, you already missed it. So I guess what I'm asking, Kristen, is do you think that's possible? And is the best way to avoid it that to just kind of set your plan and let it be?
So I'll tell you this, especially if you are a younger investor, and by younger, I don't mean 18 years old. I literally would say probably anyone under the age of 60. This is particularly true. If you have at least a decade before your retirement, this is something to think about. Recessions are where millionaires are made. Okay, because everything is on sale. And so if you are someone who is not quite worried about losing your job, or if you have a healthy amount in savings, and you have the funds to do so, this is actually a time where you should really start considering if you can actually invest more. Because they say that the stock market is the only store where everything is on sale and everyone runs out of the store. You want to be the one to run into the store and snatch up as many things as you possibly can for as low as you possibly can. If you don't, you will do exactly what you were just describing. You will miss the boat when everything does start to turn around. And then when you do decide to jump back in, you're going to be buying everything at much higher prices. So even if you do have a nice, healthy return, you know, perhaps you get a return of 5%, you just have to think about the fact that that could have been a 20% return if only you had stayed the course or even decided to invest when things were getting a little bit scary. I'll just say this. Warren Buffett, they call him the Oracle of Omaha. He says that you need to get greedy when others are fearful and fearful when others are greedy. And I would say that definitely holds true when it comes to a recession.
Well said, Kristen Myers. Yeah, I was reading in a book. I don't remember the exact quote, but they were looking back from like 1900 to 2012. They took all the months, it was like 1,000 months or something like that, that they analyzed. And in only like 60 of them did the S&P 500 make a bunch of money. It was like they made over 10%. The rest of the months, it was basically flat. There are certain months that you do not want to miss. And if you do dollar cost averaging, meaning you spread it out, you have a plan, you invest whether it's going up or going down, you will capitalize on those. It's the people that are really jittery or too aggressive that seem to kind of miss out on those great months. Okay, Kristen, I wish we could talk more. We're out of time. We'll do it again soon, okay?
Absolutely.
That's Kristen Myers, business and financial journalist. But quick break ahead of the news on WGN.